Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Well, happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Happy to be here with you this afternoon. Took a little time off yesterday. I'll get a little bit more into detail, not a whole lot of detail, about that a little bit later in the show. Appreciate you being with us. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Do you approve of Donald Trump's ballroom addition to the White House? Simple yes or no question on the day. Have you seen the construction as it has been taking place? Have you seen the side of the East?
Yeah, I'm really interested in watching it, too, to see if there are layers of eras of construction from the White House.
President Trump said specifically today that they had worked very hard to make sure that all the marble matched. I think he was talking about the Rose Garden, but also the ballroom, that they're being very meticulous about ensuring that that is something that is not going to be super identifiable. If you've ever been to, you've never like toured D.C.
No.
So if you've ever been to the Pentagon 9/11 memorial, you can distinctly see where they had to replace the stone on the Pentagon from where the plane crashed into the building. And that's a stark reminder of you can look at the Pentagon and it's just I didn't realize how big the Pentagon was, certainly, until you get there. Sometimes you go see things and you're like, it's not as big as I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. Statue of Liberty's like that.
That's a good one. I think the arch is bigger than people think it's going to be.
I agree.
I think the arch is one of those things that you see and you're like, whoa. But when I went to the Pentagon, obviously the Pentagon is in the shape of a pentagon. You really can't tell that it's a pentagon when you're there because it just looks like a gigantic building. And if you're just seeing one of the five sides, it just looks like a building. Well, the president is speaking right now. He's still talking. He's been talking for 45 minutes, maybe not quite, 35 minutes maybe, from the Rose Garden in the White House. Now, he renovated the Rose Garden area, and he said this many times, and I cannot stress enough how much I would appreciate if I were somebody who was a frequenter of the White House. One of the key points he talks about, where they put some paving stones down, they essentially made it concrete so that the area where people would meet in the Rose Garden is now no longer grass. But he would talk about how he always talks about the women in the high heels would go out there and sink down into the ground. Ryan, you know what that's like.
I've seen it. I understand mud, you know, working in mud boots.
The way that you said that actually makes me not want to ask any follow-ups.
You shouldn't.
Normally you go head first into that. I feel like maybe I touched on a sensitive subject. So we'll just move on. What do you say about that?
I'm not sensitive about that subject.
It's not convincing. This is so funny. So I think he's got a lot of Republican senators out there right now because I think they're supposed to meet and talk about the CR and government shutdown and stuff. But he's speaking to the Rose Garden or in the Rose Garden to these Republican senators, and he's doing his Donald Trump thing. He calls it the weave. But how do you weave in front of the Republican senators who have mostly helped you accomplish everything that you've achieved so far.
Well, he's having fun.
Yes.
This speech has been funny.
So he's talking about the Rose Garden area, and then he talks about the Wall of Fame with the presidents there, which we all know that Joe Biden's picture. It's got all the presidential pictures, and he made Joe Biden's picture the auto pen.
Uh-huh.
That is wild. And I also feel like in my mind, if when you're watching like documentaries on the History Channel and they're talking about like, I don't know, Grover Cleveland or somebody like way back then, that they did petty stuff like that too. And maybe that story doesn't rise to the top because the saturation of coverage didn't exist back then. So that stuff could happen and it would be like an inside joke for the staff because they'd see it. If people aren't reporting on it and reporting on it in great detail, it never really makes it into like the top told stories of our American president.
Yeah, because we compare it to stuff within our lifetimes. We go, "Wow, Gerald Ford never would have done this malarkey."
That's never been said before. That's a new sentence in the ethos. It's pretty amazing. But listen, as the president, this is just so funny to me. In the Rose Garden of the White House, in front of a bunch of Republican senators, this is how you know President Donald Trump is feeling pretty good.
Stone that's the exact same stone and color as the White House itself, because we wanted the friendly feeling of that light color, and it reflects the sun and it keeps you cool even in the summer. And we've had press conferences. We finished it about a month ago. This is, as you see over here, the Presidential Walk of Fame. And we had this long wall with half windows because that used to be a swimming pool on the other side of the wall. That was the swimming pool where Jackie would say, "I hear women inside. Are women inside?" Quite a famous, I'm not saying anything, this was a part of a movie. And the Secret Service said, "No, ma'am, there's no women inside, ma'am. I'm sorry, ma'am, you're going to have to move along. But I hear women inside. No, ma'am, you'll have to move along, ma'am." So that was the famous swimming pool. Now it's even worse. It's for the media. They covered the pool up. They covered the pull-up, and now it's for the media. And I think we have a small representative group. I don't think they allowed the rest of them. I can't believe it. What happened? They're all on the other side of the wall. Can you believe it?
There used to be a pool?
Oh, yeah. And he's in there telling stories on JFK being a womanizer. And he's like, "Hey, listen, everybody's heard this. It's been in the movies."
Yeah.
That is the type of thing that has to enrage the people on the left, who are like, "This isn't a serious man." And I want to say, no, he's not being serious right now. Isn't it great? Like, it is heartwarming to me to see him up there talking and telling these types of stories. He's making jokes about JFK, about the swimming pool, about the media. This man feels good right now. And it's because he's winning. He's winning on every front. I know you guys probably talked about the No Kings protest yesterday.
Yes, we did.
Did you spend a lot of time on it?
I would say we spent a considerable amount of time on it.
The whole show?
Most of it.
That's okay. What was the consensus? What was your overall consensus of No Kings protest?
Okay, so real takeaway from it is that it was a good turnout, especially in St. Louis because it was all rainy, for Democrats of the very, very
far
left. Not a flop. I don't think so. I also think that it, big takeaway was that this really just helps the GOP because nobody can really figure out what specifically they're protesting. And the phrase "No Kings" is so easily contested that everybody goes, "You win. We didn't have a king." Like, it just doesn't do anything. So overall, I'd say GOP kind of comes out on top of these protests.
Yeah.
Without doing anything.
I feel like the grandma in the situation going, "Let the kids have their fun."
I agree.
Like,
yeah, go ahead.
The parent is like, "What are they doing? They're causing trouble," and blah, 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 blah. And grandma and grandpa have seen a few things. They're like, "Just let the kids have their fun." It's basically like the far left progressives of the country TP America for a day, and you're like, "Okay, all right."
Yeah, as long as it's teepee. As long as you're not burning down buildings.
They didn't burn down buildings.
Which I didn't see much. There was a little bit in Portland and a little bit in L.A.
Yeah, but was that a riot that broke out into a No Kings protest? Because that's a little different.
I don't know.
Do you just like, you get the agenda for the day and you're like, "Today we're rioting. Oh, on Saturday, No Kings protest." If a if a protest breaks out of a riot, that's a little different than a riot breaking out of a protest.
We said this yesterday, too, that it would be so easy to get these things to go off the rails, because really all you need to do, let's say you're paying somebody, just, you know, hypothetically, if you wanted to pay 10 people to go out there and take a couple bricks with them, that'd be real easy to create a riot out of.
Yeah.
So I was surprised that there were not more throughout the country, but there were a few on the left coast.
So high five to the folks on the left. You exercised your First Amendment.
Yeah.
No cities were lost. No. Donald Trump's still the president and not a king.
Correct. So it was successful.
Hands in the middle. One, two, three.
We all did it.
Freedom. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Fred Flights is going to join us, and I'm very excited to talk to him. J.D. Vance was speaking from the Middle East today as we inch towards peace, which is on the other side of a ceasefire, a 20-point plan put together, mediated by Donald Trump, with Jews and Muslims alike. It's really a wild thing to observe. We'll get the latest and the details of what's taking place in that region, but then, of course, also Ukraine and Russia. That problem's not been solved yet. The vice chair for the America First Policy Institute Center for American Security, Fred Flights, next. Don't go in.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including ARC. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This model, I think, could serve for a foundation for normalization, not just in the Middle East, but across the world. Because what we're taking, again, is a long-term, protracted conflict with two enemies who really don't like each other, and we're actually creating a model that can lead towards sustainable peace. Now, we know that a lot of our Gulf Arab friends would like to have normalized relations with Israel. We know that getting this peace on a sustainable pathway is sort of the critical first step of that. But look, I feel very optimistic about where we are. Knock on wood, you never know how this stuff is going to go. But given what I've seen, given the incredible talent and effort that's going in to the reconstruction of Gaza, to the long-term security of the Gazans in that territory, I feel very good about where we are. And again, if we get this right, I really do think it's going to be a domino that leads to a lot of further peace all across the region.
The vice president speaking in Israel over the movement towards peace, which It's a 20-step process, to be specific. It's not going to be simple. And I haven't heard the Trump administration really ever articulate that this is something that is going to be, you know, just simply do this, do that. It's done. Peace exists. But we are in the process. We are, a week or so into this process. And the question is, how are we doing so far? Let's ask an expert on that. Fred Flights joins us once again. He's the vice chair for the America First Policy Institute Center for American Security. He's also former NSC chief of staff, CIA analyst, and House of Intelligence Committee staff member. Fred, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Annie, good to be here.
So I want to give you the opportunity to just assess the progress so far. We, of course, are trying to achieve peace in the Middle East, which is something that a lot of us probably thought was never possible. How do you feel about the president's plan so far and the cooperation of the necessary parties?
Well, I think you and the vice president put it best. Peacemaking is hard. And it's going to take time. And when we look at what was achieved with this Middle East deal, Trump did get all the live hostages out. No one thought that would happen. If they got out, it would be in stages. Probably they wouldn't all get out because some of them would be there too long. Frankly, they had to get out now because they wouldn't be alive much longer. But the subsequent stages of getting Hamas to demilitarize and hand over Gaza, everyone knew that was going to be hard. And there's some problems here. The international force has not been deployed yet. That has to be done immediately. I don't know why it isn't deployed. I know it's being worked on, but that force has to go in, confront Hamas, ask it to hand over its weapons, and to take control of other areas of Gaza as Israel withdraws. And I agree with the vice president that let's not panic right now. We knew this was going to be hard. It's going to take time, and it's going to be harder than we thought.
So we're speaking with Fred Flights right now. A lot of pressure is on Hamas. They're the ones who have to, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but cooperation, full cooperation from Hamas is how this actually gets done. What have we seen so far since this has been put into place? Are they still willing to play ball?
Well, the first problem was that as Israel pulled out, Hamas went into the areas it evacuated and took control and said they're not going to give out their weapons. That's a problem. We might be able to deal with that. A more serious problem is that there are Hamas elements that are attacking Israeli forces, which is sort of strange because the Hamas leadership agreed to the ceasefire. And it appears that they want to negotiate to get a better deal. Why they'd be attacking Israel doesn't make sense. But it does make sense if one recognizes that there are divisions within Hamas. Some of these units are not controlled by the leadership. Some of them are simply motivated by hate. They don't want peace. And getting control of those units or cells is going to be a problem. And I think Vance hit on that well today.
So we're speaking with Fred Flights. He is the vice chair for the America First Policy Institute Center for American Security. I don't know if you were able to hear J.D. Vance's, the vice president's, full remarks today. But what I heard, the tone that I heard him speaking in, and of course, he's the vice president representing the Trump administration. I heard a lot of optimism and a lot of hope, but a very, very much so a trust but verify attitude towards this peace process, saying, you know, there's no guarantee here. This isn't something that is easy. It's not something that's going to be fast. And he even cited that there are going to be bumps in the road along the way. Do you think that that's the right mentality for the vice president representing the Trump administration to take on the global stage?
I think it's exactly right. It's also the way Trump is playing Ukraine. These things are hard. Let's not throw the towel in and say things have failed while we can still work it. And I would also add, and the vice president made this point today, the agreement has provisions that if Hamas just won't cooperate, Israel will go back in and finish them off and we'll help them. Now, the president talked about that yesterday. Now, that is the hard way. The president said Hamas can do this the easy way or the hard way. The easy way is peace and to disarm. And if they don't want to live in peace in this region, they'll be allowed to leave the area. This is a great outcome because Hamas has lost badly. The leaders have been repeatedly killed. They've lost thousands of members. You know, when will this end?
So let's talk a little bit about how this deal, this cooperation that President Trump has mediated. Can you talk to me a little bit about the parties that are involved, the very unlikely parties, the people who are having to come together for a commonality, which is, I assume, peace and prosperity as opposed to just perpetual war? Talk to me about how the president has brought together some of these unlikely parties that may have not participated in the concept and idea of investing in peace in this region, but now might be interested.
Well, the president was able to put together a fairly broad alliance of Arab state and Israel by putting together an agreement that was, frankly, full of compromises and tough on both sides. It calls for Hamas to disarm and to hand over control of Gaza. But it also says to Israel that when the Palestinians de-radicalize, there will be a pathway to a Palestinian state. The Israelis don't like that idea. They don't want a Palestinian state right now after October 7th. But that compromise, which is sort of it's an aspirational thought, that compromise was necessary to get the Arab states on board and the Palestinian Authority, which governs the West Bank, which the fact they backed this deal was extraordinary. That's what got Hamas on board, at least the Hamas leadership. The president also put together a coalition of 56 states at the summit in Egypt after the deal went into force, where he was able to bring in other players, including the Europeans, who were of no help at all while the U.S. was negotiating this.
So I want to ask you this question, because I was paying attention. I'll be honest. I was held captive in a parking lot while my son had a baseball practice that was like 45 minutes away from my house. So I was just sitting helplessly scrolling on Twitter, which is a stupid place to be, during the No Kings protest on Saturday. And so I was watching and looking at what was taking place across the country. And one of the things, I was talking to ChatGPT. I was trying to just get some facts about the election, the states that he won, how much did he win, he won the popular vote, so on and so forth. But one of the things that ChatGPT spit out to me, I was asking, like, why do people not like this president? One of the things was that the detractors from President Trump feel very nervous about the diminishing relationships that Donald Trump and America now have with our European allies, with NATO, with these people across the globe who his detractors want to see us build those global relationships. The people who are his detractors right now feel like he's sabotaging those relationships. Can you talk to me about, in his, 9 months now in office in his second term, what is the status of the relationship between America and these European countries, allies that we've had before? Are we waning in those relationships?
Well, let's start by stipulating that you can't trust these AI models.
I was so bored.
Stock full of information by the far left.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
They won't criticize global warming, but they're happy to criticize Trump, and they'll go down every rabbit hole of conspiracy you can come up with. So don't you can't believe them.
I don't trust them. I trust you, Fred. That's why I'm asking you.
That's a discussion for another day. I don't think many of these protesters thought that. They're protesting Trump because they want power. They want to promote a left-wing agenda. Most of them don't know anything about our relationship with Europe. I doubt 1% of the people doing those protests even thought about what you asked. But there are some of them who do think that. There's some on the left who do think that. They like the traditional way of America doing diplomacy. That is, America answers to the UN. America's pushed around by the European elites. That hasn't worked in promoting global security. That's why there was no effort at all to have talks to end the war in Ukraine when Biden was president, either by the Europeans or by Biden. Now, Trump hasn't succeeded in that yet, but they didn't even try. And the same thing for what was going on in the Middle East. Biden tried peace talks to end the war, but no one took him seriously because he was seen as weak. He had a foreign policy which prioritized climate change, not China or nuclear proliferation. And people were laughing at him. They're not laughing at Trump. Mm.
Do you feel as though maybe if it's not warm and fuzzy, like they're not making their BFF bracelets for each other to wear when they see each other? Has there been a newfound or a reinvigorated respect for the United States that did not exist before?
I think there's grudging respect from many nations. They would prefer, they prefer Biden be president in Europe. They like Biden. They could push him around. One of the first things Biden said when he went to Europe was that he was happy to be rejoining the European club. I don't want our president a member of the European club. The European elites who came up with the Paris Climate Accord that wants to put in trade deals that hurt our workers. I think there are a lot of states that admire Trump. I think there's grudging respect. I think in some cases there's fear. I don't think these global elites are going to accept Trump. They don't like what he's doing, but they can't do anything about it, and they realize they have to deal with him.
Yeah. And what's the alternative? We've seen it. It just happened. It was the last administration. That is for certain. Fred Flights, we appreciate you as always. Thank you for being with us today to bring some clarity to these very, very, very complicated situations.
Good to be here. Thanks, Annie.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Vice Chair for the America First Policy Institute Center for American Security, former NSC Chief of Staff, CIA analyst, and House of Intelligence Committee staff member. He's got a book. It's called America First Approach to U.S. National Security, and you can follow him on X at Fred Flights. All right, let's take a quick break. Go jump on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Do you approve of Donald Trump's ballroom addition to the White House? Yes or no? The president speaking from the Rose Garden today, talking about that, among many other things, all the things as he is used to doing. Of course, we've heard it. We've heard the speech. Lots of accomplishments to brag about. Lots of soon to be accomplishments to talk about as well. And he definitely covered the bases earlier this afternoon. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Ryan will be back in studio. Wiggins America coming up at about 12:47. We'll be right back.
And I know that I need to change my ways of living. How far is heaven, Lord?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The ballroom addition to the White House, that process has commenced, and it's a messy process. It definitely looks like construction. Don't you feel like if I'm just thinking of Disney World because I'm familiar with it. When they do construction, they do everything they can to hide it. They put it behind walls that are green if they're low, light blue if they're tall, and you just can't see it. Is it weird to see the White House look like it's been torn apart?
Yeah, it is a little weird. But it also is kind of cool to know that from now on, the view that you will have of the White House will be different than it has been for your entire life.
Because of Donald Trump's fingerprint. Did you also see he wants to put an arch near the Lincoln Memorial? It's an arc, not like the
of
St.
the covenant?
Louis. He's going to make this, yes. It is the Ark of the Covenant. They found it. And they're going to just put it out there for the guests to see because it's safe.
And Harrison Ford's going to
just put
your
hands on it and go, there it is.
You're dead.
Yeah. It's like a Darwin Award test.
No, there's a different. There's a few different arches and arcs. Are you talking about that one? Are you talking about the one that Noah was in? Are you talking about a St. Louis-style arch?
I think that when President Trump was talking about it, he wasn't specific. It will be a surprise.
Okay.
It could be the Ark of Covenant. It could be Noah's Ark. It could just be a nice pass-through to drive and walk through.
Could be some electricity going between two wires that are a little too far apart.
We have a job to do, and this is not
current
it.
Arcing.
The Senate is going to speak here, well, the president or the Senate, at the White House. They're meeting to talk about government shutdown. Do you think that they are do you think the Republicans are going to compromise in some way, shape, or form here?
I do. I think that they will compromise eventually, but Democrats have got to show that it's not serious to come to the table and go, we want you, even though we have a complete minority here, we want you guys to spend $1.5 trillion extra dollars. That is so ridiculous. And that may be a starting place for negotiations. I understand that. But they haven't budged from that. So they're going to have to come off of that a little bit to even start talks. I do think, though, Republicans will have to do something with Obamacare subsidies.
I
don't know what it is.
I want to drill in on this because I was, oh gosh, who was I listening to earlier today? I think it was Fox News. But there are people who think that Obamacare provided them more affordable health care. And I think it's really important when you said Affordable Care Act subsidies, Obamacare subsidies, I think that it's really key for people to understand that when the Affordable Care Act was passed, and it was passed in 2010, and then Republicans tried to repeal it when Donald Trump became president. Famous John McCain, thumbs down. That's why it didn't get repealed. That's why the system... Now, it's possible that it would have been repealed and we would be in an even bigger mess because their solution to the problem would not have, in fact, been a solution, which usually government solutions cause more problems. The United States government has passed additional subsidies to make the Affordable Care Act more affordable. It's like saying that ethanol gas is cheaper. When you go buy E85 gas and it's cheaper than your regular gas, that's only because you as a taxpayer are giving money to that so that it looks cheaper to entice people to use it. Oh, and by the way, it's not good for your car.
That's so funny that you just said that.
It's like the best example of government solutions I can think of.
We were just in Quad Cities, just over the line in Davenport, where all the growth is happening in Iowa, not in Illinois, of course. And my son asked me, well, why is gas so much cheaper? Why wouldn't we take the cheap gas in Iowa because it's heavily subsidized because it's Iowa? Well, I had to explain to him, well, you actually are paying for that. You're just not paying for it at the pump as much. You're paying for it as a taxpayer. Same with Obamacare.
Oh, same with most things. Milk. Milk is price controlled to make sure that the farmer still, you know, crops and stuff like that. There's a lot of government manipulation in things in order to keep prices where they want them to be. And when you're thinking about healthcare, you know, what is the solution to healthcare? Healthcare is too big of a problem for just one party to solve it. There will have to be some sort of bipartisan effort to solve this problem because Obamacare has been a blue solution to a problem the entire time. No Republican is out there championing Obamacare. Are there things that it did better? I used to understand this a lot more than I do now, but they've edited it over the course of the years by adding subsidies and working to make, you know, maybe certain people be qualified for it. How do you fix a problem that big? Because the whole intention of Obamacare was to get us to a single payer system. We don't have an affordable healthcare solution in our country right now. So how do you fix it? I feel as though the partisan divide right now is so significant that it's not really a problem that's fixable. If in the midterms the Republicans gain seats, which depending on how this redistricting stuff goes, if those districts, you know, in Louisiana, in Texas, California is going to try to do something there, but they've almost maxed themselves out. Like that, people talk about, like, well, the blue states could do the same thing. They've been there. They've been doing that. If the Republicans are able to get a majority where certain people can opt out of supporting it in the House, you still are going to need 60 votes in the Senate. So you're going to need some agreeable people who are willing to have a conversation, which I think in the Senate, sometimes you could be surprised by that. But those, if you'd have to gain a majority of seats, you'd have to increase your majority of seats in both the Senate and the House. But if you did it, that's the time to fix health care.
I don't know the specific plan. I've been reading, though, quite a bit about the Health and Human Services Department, RFK, and everybody who's involved in HHS, really, really looking at this problem, though. And they've been throwing out some creative ideas. I don't know that they've landed on anything yet, but I'm just glad to see, because this whole administration is about thinking outside the box. And what you just said was, we need outside the box thinking on healthcare, health insurance specifically, because what we're currently doing just isn't working. We're just throwing more money at this problem.
Yeah. You have to see what we have right now and go, this isn't the right answer.
Yes.
And what the Democrats, what the Senate Democrats specifically are asking for right now is for all of those subsidies that have been thrown into Obamacare to make Obamacare actually be affordable for people. They want those subsidies to be continued. And what the Republicans are saying, let's have a discussion about that. Let's discuss it. We aren't going to just take your, I keep wanting to say hostage situation, but we're also talking about like actual hostages in Israel and in Gaza. And
you don't want to split hairs.
I don't want to make light of something that is actually really happening. But if the Democrats are saying you have to give us this or we're not going to open the government, the Republicans are saying we can talk about what you want, but we get to participate in those negotiations as well. And if you want to engage in those negotiations right now, it's going to take a long time and the government is going to continue to be shut down. And that means that our military is not being paid. Our air traffic control is not being paid. Who else is not being paid? Fortunately, President Trump has been able to fund a couple of things along the way. But we need to have these negotiations. We're not saying no to you, but we're saying that's a conversation that needs to be negotiated. And those negotiations need to take place while the government is funded past the freaking clean CR. And the Democrats don't have anything else.
No, they don't.
So they're just saying no.
They are so out of power, both culturally and politically, that this is one of the only areas they're able to kind of flex a little bit and say, look, we can actually do something. We can keep the government closed. So they're doing it just to show themselves, as we said yesterday, to show America that they're not as weak as they are perceived to be.
Yep. So, well, I don't know. We'll wait and see. But the healthcare question, nobody's even tried to talk about health. Like the campaign, how many people were talking about healthcare policy to become the president of the United States? And it's probably one of the most unifying healthcare in America is not where it needs to be issues. And it wasn't talked about because it's a huge issue. And this is the one that the Senate Democrats and the House Democrats, but they're already done. They're cooked. The Senate Democrats, they're the ones who have the leverage right now to say, no, we're not going to vote end the filibuster. And that's what they're saying. Will we see a compromise? I don't know. They're going to speak. The Senate Republicans are going to speak from the White House. We'll be watching and monitoring that. We'll take a quick break. Wiggins America on the least attractive hobbies for men, according to women. It is an X's and Y's day, which at 2:30 today, we will engage in a conversation across the sexes. And we will ask each other all of those questions we always wanted the answers. Like, why are you like that? Isn't that basically
pretty much where we start?
That's where we start. But when we come back, a precursor to that. In hobbies men have that are unattractive to women. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America next.
Annie Fry Show.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
All right, yeah, this is a precursor to X's and Y's today at 2:30, which is a battle of the sexes, as usual. I feel very good about today's, though, because I think we have Annie outnumbered pretty well with Brad, Ethan, and myself.
No Trisha today?
Well, she's working from home, so I don't know that she'll
just
be
yell at her radio.
Yeah, she could yell.
Okay.
So right now, though, I've got a list of hobbies
that
make you less attractive to the opposite sex. Now I have.
Wait a second.
What? Go ahead.
This says the least attractive hobbies for men,
yeah,
according to women.
And that's the way it's written, but it's also vice versa. We have the opposite as well.
You didn't tell me. I didn't approve that.
Oh, really?
I'm not interested in the hobbies that you think are unattractive.
Okay, let's start with the women's then.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Very kind.
This is from Evie Magazine. So it's for women.
Evie Magazine.
And there's not a lot of exposition on these. It's just a list. So tell me if you do any of these things, if you think, yeah, I could see that. These are things that men find unattractive if they are women's hobbies.
Okay.
The first is tarot cards and astrology.
I would find that unattractive. Mm-hmm.
The second is no hobbies at all, which... Yeah, it seems like, well, okay, you don't have any interest.
Colorful.
This is exactly like if you were playing Family Feud and it's like, we asked men what the most annoying hobbies women have are. These are the two things that men would say.
Answers on the board.
This is 100% accurate. No hobbies at all.
No hobbies. No hobbies. No hobbies.
Louis.
Very good. Very good.
Gary Boyd here.
And astrology. Yeah. And tarot cards. Yeah. Very
and
good.
And the women would be like, what?
We don't do that.
Except for the one woman who was like...
Yeah, she's in the corner. She got real long nails, a lot of jewelry.
Yeah, she's like, I know what happens to you.
A nose ring.
She just pulls up the death card, whatever yeah. It is, and just waves it.
Aunt Marcia's over there going, ooh, men don't like that, huh? Hmm. All right, the next one is compulsive...
She's like, I don't like men.
Checks out.
Compulsive shopping.
Yeah. But if it's her money, who cares? Anyway.
True. But if it's not.
But she's the lady. She didn't have any money.
Yeah. Swish. Addiction to social media.
Okay.
Traveling. That one doesn't seem weird, doesn't it?
Man, I want to tell you what mine... what I'm annoyed by men. These answers.
Somebody's saying these things.
Breathing.
Who was the original Family Feud guy? What was his name? Ooh. He had a tragic end.
Is it Richard Dawson?
Yeah, maybe.
Or something like
that.
Yeah,
I think something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And then Richard Karn.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Harvey.
Louis Anderson. That's the one I was there for a live taping of. Yeah.
That's been a while since I've heard that. I forgot that story.
Louis Anderson. Anyway, go on.
Did you talk to him?
No.
Women that go to game shows.
Women that go to game shows is on the list.
Yeah, I've been to one. It's a big hobby of mine.
Good answer. Unattractive. Gossiping.
Yeah, that's got to be that's got to be number one.
There's one more on here that when you hear it, you'll go, yeah, that's a red flag. And I'm going to tell it to you now.
Complaining about going watching the game.
No. Having an OnlyFans page.
Yeah. Is this for 20 something?
Yeah, it's not really a hobby.
Well, she's got to make her money to shop somehow.
Yeah. Compulsive shopping is right below that one.
She's got to buy her tarot cards.
Watching reality TV.
All right. This probably is on hobbies that annoy women about men, but I always refer to the television my husband wants to watch as men with too much body hair and not enough electricity.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Like yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just got to think about it and you'll be like, okay, I know what she's talking about. And you men out there are like, I love that show.
Do you know
what she's talking about?
I can tell you exactly what I thought about when she said it because I don't know. It's walking up to a guy with a ton of body hair and rubbing a balloon against him and then pulling it back a little bit. That's what I thought of.
That's my husband's favorite show.
The show that came to mind immediately for me was Dirty Jobs on Discovery Channel. Remember that one? Anyone?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Yeah. That doesn't fall into the... I mean, the people...
Well, what
the thing,
does, Annie?
Homesteading. Mm-hmm. Hunting. Living
Dirty
off
Jobs
the grid.
Falls into that.
No, it does not.
Yes, it does.
No.
Don't give me that look, Brad.
I'm talking about people who are... They have beards down to their knees. They're unkept because they don't have to be kept because they're not around anyone. And they shoot things and gut them on television.
Ice road truckers.
I don't know... I don't know.
It's on Discovery.
I'm just saying
8 hours a day.
That men have their reality TV trash just like women do. I don't like any of it. Go on.
Clubbing.
What is this? Is this Teen Vogue?
I told you it's Evie Magazine.
I don't know what that means.
And the last one is being a Swiftie or just overly into celebrity culture.
That's super annoying. I hate that
I
about
agree.
Women too.
I agree. Guys, before we move on to the guys, are any of these on your list? Would you consider that to be a pretty good list?
I mean, some of them are good, but the other ones, you're like,
I don't know about travel. I don't get why that would be unattractive.
You want to be independent? Red flag.
You like going nice places?
I want
places?
You to depend on me.
I want you to stay at home. Okay, these are the male counterparts. So these are things that women find unattractive if males have these as their hobbies. Number one is playing video games.
Yeah.
Yeah?
If you are, where that fits into, like, if my husband were trying to get home to play video games, I don't know when the time would happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I there's not a practical application to that. Now, that doesn't mean that you couldn't play video games to blow off steam, but if it takes precedence over anything that needs to get done, literally anything. And in our house with four kids, there's no time. We play Fortnite pretty regularly.
Yeah, but you do it as a family.
But we do it with our, but yeah, we have Nintendo Switches and an old Xbox so that we can play three people at one time. And that's really how it happens. And Jared's usually like, I'd rather sit here and nap. So I play with my older two kids.
I don't know how anyone has time for, I don't have kids and I don't even have time to play video games.
Yeah, I don't, as a grown man. Now, if you're talking about somebody who's in their 20s,
completely different.
And you're not,
you have more time.
Maybe you're in a new relationship. Like, if you're paying more attention to your video games than you are to her and you're in a new relationship, you're an idiot too. But if you're somebody who maybe you're on the other end, kids are moved out, you like to play video games. There's nothing wrong with men playing video games, but you better understand where it falls in the list of priorities. You shouldn't be cutting time out of your life and responsibilities to other people so that you can get some Dungeons and Dragons or whatever.
I was gonna say, does it depend on the video game?
No.
I think it does.
I mean, if you're playing,
if you're like playing Madden
Pokemon,
compared to Dungeons and Dragons, kidding me?
No.
I know everything I need to know about you.
Cosplaying as a pro football player to get your kicks is not make it better.
Okay, I understand that you're playing the NHL, but I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that this is Link's Awakening.
I was really more of an NFL guy. Hockey, really? No. Just put it in the right place in your life. It doesn't matter what you're playing. I don't care.
Number two is collecting figurines.
We're off to a bad start.
Are these grown men?
These are men. Yeah.
Again, that's an okay hobby. I mean, I'm thinking about, like, people used to paint models and stuff like that. If you're doing that and your family responsibilities are not ever taking second place to that.
What if you paint models while listening to opera loudly?
See, this is then I'm calling the police. I don't understand why men, the things that women are annoyed by men are video games and figurines, and women are like, I'd really prefer they not be on OnlyFans.
But listen to this one though. This one kind of leaves that zone of like being a man child.
Man child, that's it.
It just says crypto.
No
further explanation. Just
you don't even have to say anything else. Anything that makes a man less of a man because they're more interested in prioritizing man childhood. That's where women are like, grow up. I hate to say it that way.
Online trolling.
Like, if you're completely,
we just crossed out a lot of guys.
I don't understand,
including myself.
In my life, I don't understand grown people trying to persuade anybody on the internet.
It's
like,
fun.
Just to use a phrase, touch grass. Okay. Just don't. Like, you could fill that hole in your life with happiness. Why do you choose that?
Because it's fun sometimes.
Sure,
within its boundaries.
It's almost better if it's a hobby and not a crusade.
True, 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 true. All right, last one is just gambling. If gambling is central to your life, that's a turnoff for women, apparently.
That is something that's legitimate, because that will affect a relationship in a profound way where you're not just talking about time, you're talking about money as
Can
well.
Can you imagine a guy that viewed a girl, the red flag, as shopping too much, but was
He's gambling?
I
need the money because I got the splits on the whatever the thing is.
I got the splits on the whatevers. I'm a gambler.
The spread is a must.
I know as much about gambling as I do OnlyFans.
Red and black, and I got to pick one.
I hope you don't know anything about gambling.
And you're out there shopping for cargo pants.
I get pressured a lot. Like, would you endorse this betting gambling thing? And I'm like, I wouldn't even know the words to say. No, I can't do that. Sorry. Yes. Yes, just don't be a man-child. That's all that's really what it all... And then for the other side of it, it's like, just don't be a hooker.
So it's basically it.
We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.